And he is moving in a whole new way. We give him the glory. Want to just say a couple of things. Really, really want to encourage you that in 2 weeks when Paul Martini comes, invite people with you. There will be a time of ministry afterwards. So it's going to be an amazing day. Like my wife said, she will show the video next week, a little clip of him. But his ministry and those who minister with him, it's a powerful, healing, anointed ministry. And there will be people who we've never seen before who will come from hour away, 2 hours away to see this, to see him. You know, it's on the Global Awakening website, so don't be surprised if you see a lot of strange faces. But we want to fill this church because God's presence is going to make a difference that day. So I want to encourage you with that. The other thing I want to encourage you with is I've been giving you little snips and bites of what's going to take place in January as we pray and fast in the new year. Last week I shared with you that we're going to go and we're going to do it from January 1st to February 1st. So we're going to do the whole month of January, not 21 days like the last 2 years. And we'll be more specific about things next week. The second part of this is we're really, really believing in breakthrough during that time. We've seen breakthroughs, but now we want to take it another step. One of the things we've done, or we're going to do for January, we're not going to hold any midweek home groups. Instead, Monday through the month of January, Monday through Friday, our home is going to be open from 7 to 8 p.m. every day. Monday through Friday, you come when you want to. You can come every night. You can come once a week, twice a week, whatever you want to do. But our home is going to be a house of prayer Monday through Friday from 7 to 8 p.m. So come, not to socialize at 7. We're going to come. We're going to start praying at 7, and we'll go to about 8 o'clock. So we're committing that time to the Lord for those 20-some days, or 7 to 8, Monday through Friday, will be a house of prayer. So you're all welcome to come. Come, bring your needs, and bring your power. And we're going to pray up a storm during that time as a church. So, but right now, if you would raise your Bibles, let's give God glory for his word. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. We started a few weeks ago a series, Pursuing God's Heart. And I hope you've enjoyed this series as much as I've enjoyed sharing it, because I'm learning as you are. And it's kind of cool to see what God is bringing to life. First week we talked about why should I even pursue the heart of God. Last week we talked about how to pursue God's heart. Today, I want to talk about the rewards of pursuing God's heart. So what do I get out of it? What are the benefits? What do I get out of it if I choose to chase after God? If I choose to chase after his heart, to seek his desires, to seek his mind, to seek all the things that he cares about, make them the things that I care about. That I start to see the way he sees and hear the way he hears and be able to understand what's behind the physical that's happening in the spiritual realm. When I seek his heart, what are my benefits? Well, I want you to turn with your Bibles, and I want you to put your fingers in two spots. One of them will be on PowerPoint, the other one won't. Psalm 103 and Hebrews 4. I'm sorry, Hebrews 11. Psalm 103 and Hebrews 11. So what are the benefits? If I start a job, if I am putting energy and effort to something, I receive a salary for it. And some of us may be blessed to receive what we call a benefits package, right? Insurance paid for, 401 or 403B, all those things. You know, days off, paid vacations, those are benefits. They're called benefits package. It's the benefit of working for this company over that company. Well, what are the benefits for me to pursue God's heart over pursuing the heart of this world or the heart of the devil? We're going to begin Hebrews 11, 6, and we're going to come back to Hebrews 11 in a little bit. But I just want to look at this one verse right now. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. See, that's God's job description. That's his ad in the paper. Okay? You seek him. You seek him in your faith, because faith is all in pursuing his heart. And whoever draws near to God, as you seek, as you pursue, and as we learn, it's chasing after. It's an action verb to seek God. You're chasing. As you chase after him, you must believe that he exists. Because as you're getting to know him, you find out how real he is and who he is. When you pursue it, the closer you get, the clearer the details become. I can see that door. I can see those reefs on that door. I can see the doorknob. I can see the bells. But the closer I get to them, then I can see what they really are. Maybe those bells are made of plastic. Maybe they're made of metal. Maybe they're aluminum. I get to see how real they are. And what are the rewards here? That he rewards those who seek him. He tells me, if I do this, if I accept this position in his employment, there's going to be benefits. He tells me, if I seek him, chase after him, or pursue him, one of the clearest benefits is that he will be found by me. See, that's a promise. That's a promise. That's the salary, the beginning salary right there. Everything else is added to the salary. Comes the benefits package. If I pursue him, I will be found by him. Period. The end. And truthfully, I don't think I know anybody in this world who's ever chased after God who said, I'm done. Not worth it. If you've truly chased after God's heart, truly chased after him, you will find him. Now, when you find him, that's where it gets hard, to be honest with you. Because when you find him, that's when you have to make a choice. Is your heart going to line up with his fully, or are you going to turn back? You're going to find it's too hard. Well, I'm here to tell you, God is great. Okay? God has never failed me. God has never terminated my employment. He has never laid me off. Every time I needed to speak to my spiritual supervisor, he was there. Every time I needed an intercessor with a other employee issue, he was there. God has never left or forsaken. He is the CEO, but he knows every mail clerk by name. Okay? His employment is great. Best job you can ever have is to chase after him. But let's talk about the other elements, the benefits package here. And this is, it's not going to be on PowerPoint. Psalm 103, the first five verses. Let's look at this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Stop there for a second. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. The way you think, which affects your attitude, which is your emotions, your passions, your drives, and your will, which is your determination to press forward, to pursue something. So, bless the Lord with my mind, my will, and my emotions, or my thoughts, my passions, my desires, my drive. To bless the Lord means to go after him, to touch his heart. When somebody says, oh, bless your heart, or oh, you blessed me, what does that mean? Means you, the emotion that you showed in whatever it is you did, they received the emotion. It had emotional weight. It had a heart weight to it. It had something that came from your heart, your mind, your body, with your actions, that spoke into somebody's heart, mind, body, and actions. You spoke to them. You touched them. When someone says, you bless me, you reached out and touched something in them. So bless the Lord. Reach out, pursue, and touch the heart of God, my mind, will, and emotions, and everything else that goes along with it. Bless his name. Reach out and touch his name. His name is power. His name is great. Again, bless the Lord. When the Bible repeats itself, you know it's kind of important. Oh, my soul. And oh, by the way, don't forget the benefits that come with it. What are those benefits? Number one, he forgives your iniquities, your sins, and beyond. Remember, your iniquities is the type of sin that we might be prone to. For an example, an alcoholic who tends to run back, that's the iniquity, is the fact that they're prone to alcoholism, not the single action. He forgives the single action, but more than that, he forgives our tendency to do something. And he heals that. He heals your diseases. And my wife shared a little bit about that, and we've been sharing a lot about being healed and that healing salve that comes from heaven, the anointing oil that pours and that heals. One of the things when we were praying over Sharon yesterday, you know, just top of her spine, Lord said, touch her, because I'm anointing the top and that oil is going to drip down. And that's what we did. Just touched her spine. Just feel. And she said, I feel warmth, right, Sharon? Who redeems your life from destruction? Most of us are not going to say, some of us might, but most of us are not going to say, my life was on the road to nowhere. You know, I was doing this and I was doing that and my life was in jeopardy and I could have been killed or I should have ended up in jail and all that. Most of us in this room may not have that testimony. But destruction isn't just that. It's living a life apart from God. It's going in the wrong way. You know, what does it say? He redeems your life from destruction. My life was in destruction when my first wife left me. And guess what God did? He redeemed it. I shared with you that I lost everything. And when God gave me back a home, my home, the nickname of our home is Redemption Hill. Because he's restoring everything back. He's redeeming what the devil has taken away, what's been destroyed. So he redeems your life from destruction. Then, on top of redeeming, he crowns you with his loving kindness and his tender mercies. So not only does he say, okay, get back on your feet again, here you go, but he says, come here, let me put my arms around you. Let me love you to heal your wounds. Let me lovingly heal your wounds and help you walk the right path again, showing you mercy, because every time you trip and stumble, I'll be there to pick you back up. Pretty good benefits package so far, wouldn't you say? For rewards of pursuing his heart. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. Now, most of us are probably thinking food right away, being that it was Thanksgiving. But you know what? Your mouth isn't just to shove stuff in, but it's what comes out of it as well. He satisfies the taste buds of our mouth. Bible says, taste and see that God is good. But also, think about what comes out of your mouth. Think about as God is changing your life. He is redeeming you from destruction. As you're pursuing him, chasing after him, think of how your language changes. How your words that used to kill and destroy and put down have become encouraging words and edifying words and building words and admonishing in God's word words. So that your youth, oh, and I like this, is renewed like the eagles. Okay. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Let me tell you something. You know what is so cool? You know, we watch YouTube videos of Jesus Culture, Hillsongs United, Planet Shakers. These are all modern, contemporary, passionate, powerfully filled worship services. We've gone to worship services like that. We've encountered worship services like that here. And you would think that it's all young people and they're the ones jumping up and down and doing this and praising God. You know how cool it is? When you really look, you'll see a 65-year-old person doing that. You see a 70-year-old person on their knees worshiping God. It's not about the physical age. It's about your heart's revival that takes place as you pursue God. You have new purpose. Goals and dreams that are crushed, which is Satan's job, by the way. When he seeks to kill and destroy, he's killing your hopes, your dreams, your visions, your desires that God had given you. Okay? When those are restored and those are renewed, it gives you purpose. Purpose gives you life. Because it motivates us. We get excited. We get psyched up. We're passionate about this. Oh, I'm too old to mow the lawn, but I'm going to jump up and down for Jesus. Because he renews this in me when I seek after him. Because I'm outside of myself. When I am chasing after him, I'm looking at him. I'm looking at whom I am chasing. I'm not busy looking in the mirror, finding fault in me and in things around me. I'm getting excited what's ahead of me. I'm not wondering what's back there. I'm chasing what's in front of me. And I'm chasing him with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength, with everything. He renews that as I chase. And as I run, here's the cool thing. As we run after God, we run faster and faster the closer we get. Did you realize that? If your goal is to chase after a 5-mile run, first time you run it, you'll barely make it past a half a lap. But next thing you know, you might make the 5 miles in a couple of hours. But the more you keep doing it, the faster you'll run, the faster you'll run, the faster and faster your time gets better. The closer we get to God, the more we run after him, our strength is renewed, our vitality, our conditioning is stronger, and nothing is getting in our way. So now, if that isn't enough, there's something more. There's more benefits. See, you know, been hearing a lot in the news about how certain restaurants have secret menus that only the regular customers have. Well, there's a secret, not so secret, benefits package that comes along with this original package, if that wasn't enough for you. Now turn to Hebrews 11 with me. Because if that wasn't enough, if your iniquities being forgiven is not enough, your diseases being healed weren't enough, the redemption of your life as a whole was not enough, if he crowns you with his tender loving kindness and mercy isn't enough, if he doesn't satisfy your mouth with great things, and if your youth is not renewed is not enough, well, here's a few more to sweeten the deal a little bit. By faith, beginning verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. This is called the wall of faith, okay? These are the pillars of our faith. With their faith and how their faith brought them closer to God and to their destiny. So he starts with Abel. What do we see, or what benefit did Abel get out of chasing after God? He obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of the gifts. God testifying of his gifts through it, even though he's still dead. As far as I know, Abel is still dead right now. What God did in him still lives. What is that talking about? Legacy. One of the benefits of pursuing God's heart with your passion is the legacy you will leave behind. Because when you chase after God, you can't help but pick up stragglers along the way. If you are truly chasing God, you are not running alone. We're running together. As I am chasing after God, you are benefiting. You are my legacy in the way you benefit from my chase. And I am your legacy in the benefit of the way you chase God. Your children are your legacy. What you taught them. When the Bible says, train up a child right and they will not forget the ways when they get older, that's the legacy you leave behind for them. Your legacy. People may reject it at the moment, but when they look back, they say, wow, my dad taught me this. My mom taught me this. I don't know how many of us in this room have said, I will never be like my dad or mom when I grow up. I'll let my kids do this and that and act this way. And almost every single one of us, I can probably say, are going, wow, I'm turning into my dad. Or I'm turning into my mom. That's the legacy. And Abel was left a legacy of his faithfulness that was counted, that he was righteous. And God honored him. He left that legacy behind. And he passed that down. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. He disappeared. God just one day snapped his fingers and he disappeared and went to heaven. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. He pleased God. He pleased God. What was the benefit? Was the fact that God said, he pleased me. You may not have liked what he did. You may not liked what he said. Or some of the things he had to declare. And things he had to do. But you know what? He did it for me. He pleased me. His benefit is that he was justified by God to all the people. All the naysayers that said, oh, this ain't right. You shouldn't be doing this. You're being too hard on us, or whatever the case may be. God said, he did it my way. Before Frank Sinatra said that. He did it my way. And this is, let me show you. That's why I took him to be with me. And that's hard. One of the commitments I made a few months ago, and I look back and I think about how years ago we used to, like, I used to put in bulletins stuff about what do you think about this in our church, or what are your opinions about that? And not that people's opinions aren't important and feelings aren't important, but if we're looking for people, what they want, we're not listening to what God wants for us. Because 9 out of 10 times what we want is not what God wants. Or what God's standard of what he wants is much more. And people don't like it when you say, nope, this is the way God, this is what God wants right now. And I have to be accountable to that, right or wrong. I'm accountable to that, but I'd rather err on God than on man. And be justified by God for all people, just like Enoch was. So that's another benefit. It's not verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, or a benefit, those who he rewards those who seek him. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. What's the benefit here? He chased after God. He did what God wanted him to do. He became an heir of God's righteousness. He became an example of the righteousness of God. God declared him righteous where unrighteousness reigned supreme. God looked and said, that's a righteous man. He said, hey, Gabriel, hey, Michael, hey, angels, look, that's righteousness at work here. He was clothed in the righteousness of God. That's another benefit. If that's not enough. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed, and when he was called out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, he went out not knowing where he was going. And guess what? He got there and received the inheritance God gave him or had set out for him. We may not know where we are running when we're chasing after God, but we know who we're chasing after. And we know that the one we are chasing after is not going to lead us into dark alleys and back hallways and lead us astray. Bible says he makes straight the paths that we run. He takes deserts and creates a path. He takes the wilderness and makes a way. He makes our way straight. He orders the steps of the righteous, the ones that follow him, that he deems righteous and chase after him. We receive that inheritance that he's already laid out for us. And leading into that, verse 9, by faith dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, new territory in his life, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He waited for the city. What's the benefit? Benefit is God's promised land. Benefit is the hopes, the dreams, the thoughts, the things that God has given you, especially when you were younger, who maybe now you might look and say, I'm too old to do this, or it never happened. I don't have the resources. I don't have those things. God will bring them back. What has God promised you? What has God shown you? Whether it was last week or years ago. What did God show you he has for you? What did he promise? And that you're still waiting. When you chase after him, his promises will come forth. For whatever reason, many years ago, and I'd read devotional books and I'd go, you know, these are shallow, some of them. Or I could do this, and it became on my heart many years ago to write a devotional book. One that's going to be very real, very everyday, speaking into our lives. But I never chased after it. But last year, it was around this time of year when we were committing and consecrating our time to praying and fasting. That's when the Lord said, go ahead, I want you to do a daily blog that as you're reading your scripture and having your time with me, whatever thoughts come to your mind that I place, run with them. I look back now, I've got 230 devotionals right now that started last year. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's my devotional book, Lord. And it's very real. It's from my heart. It's not just, ooh, whatever. But the Lord's doing that. What promises? They'll come, he'll fulfill them in his perfect way. Not the way I think they should be, or you think they should be, but the benefit is what God has promised, he is faithful to bring forth. What's the scripture? What God started, he is faithful to what? Complete it in you. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. Remember, she's like 93 years old. And she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him, meaning God, faithful, who had promised. Judged him faithful. She trusted his promises. Even though she doubted at first, she trusted. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. What are some of the benefits? First thing is, Sarah had strength that was not her own. Her body was shutting down, but God lit it back up. He gave it strength that it wasn't hers. It was beyond her physical strength. So whenever we think, or I think, or anyone thinks they can't go on anymore doing this, they can't handle this anymore, guess what? God says, I'm here. I'm Jehovah Jireh, your supplier. You just come to me. See, you work for me, remember? You're employed. You're in my employment as you're chasing after me. And, you know, you might need scotch tape. You might need staples. Guess what? I have the storeroom over here. Okay? I have a Staples credit card that we can get anything for free. I've got what you need. I have your hookup. He will give you what you need. Physical strength beyond your own. And that goes back to that youth thing, that vitality, the youth of an eagle. And the second thing here is her glory, Sarah's glory, became her children, became her descendants. Sarah, who was barren, therefore she was shamed. She was shamed. A woman without sons is shameful in those days. But guess what? Not only did she have a son, her descendants are still living to talk about her today. That's God's promise when you chase after him. The things that used to bring you shame, that you were ashamed of, are the glory of God when they're given to God. The things that used to embarrass you are the things that God will take and raise up here. I was the one, some of you have been here a while, know this, that back in 1987 and 88, the first time I picked up a guitar, I used to be the one sitting in the corner of a Bible study, lip-syncing words because I was ashamed of my voice. Now you can't shut me up when it comes to praise. You just can't. You just tell me where, when, and I'm there. The thing that was a shame to me has become the glory of God. That's what God does. That's what happens when you chase after him. And we go back to the verse that started all this. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When you chase after me with all your heart. When you pursue me with all your heart. You will find me. And look at all these benefits that come along with it. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good package. That's a pretty good reason for me to not stop chasing and to chase and run even harder. And the closer I get, the more I see God move in a more and more powerful way. I want us to bow our heads for a second. Just let the Holy Spirit speak to us right now. Holy Spirit, stir inside of us the things you want to. Stir inside of us right now, Lord, what needs to be revealed, what needs to be shown. Reveal yourself, Holy Spirit, in this right now. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, and I'm going to even keep my eyes closed because this is more about us and God than about one another. I know I'm going to be raising my hand, but let's declare unto God, if you have this desire right now to chase after God harder, faster, stronger, than you ever have in your life, just raise your hand unto God and just let him see. And Lord, with raised hands, God, we declare in faith that it is our desire to chase after you, that it is our desire to run after you, to touch your heart, to bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, to just know you like we have never known you before. To know your ways. To know your heart. To know your thoughts. We declare in faith, Lord, by the raising of our hands, that, Father, we want more of you. We want more. More of you, Holy Spirit, in our lives. That'll open our hearts up to your understanding. And to who you are. That will bring new revelation right now. New revelation of who you are in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We declare in faith. We stand and we run. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In a moment, I'm going to ask our prayer team to come on up here. And we're going to pray for you. In this, as you run, because some of us just simply needs encouragement. But I want to do something before we do that. If there's a couple of people here who feel led to do this. Since we started this, and as some of you grown in your awareness to chase after God deeper, and have actually done things you weren't doing before, or more intentional than you had before, do you have any very brief testimonies you feel comfortable to share to encourage the body? All right, go ahead, Carrie.
Trying to pray out loud was
Amen. Is there another person who might have a testimony?
It's not much, but I was like the angry German. So I used to get on Tommy for everything just because we're so different. But as we've been here, I speak more love and have more patience and realize that no matter how late we are, it was God's will anyway. So hopefully that helps my baby. And but also I'm an avid reader. I mean, I read books that are like 1,000 pages, and I'm like, well, duh, like why don't I just read the Bible? That's like about 2,000. I could do that. And so now I've you know, before I open up whatever trilogy I'm reading, I read the Bible first. And as I keep on reading the Bible, I'm winding up reading the Bible more and having less interest in anything else. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? I go back to the Bible, and it's actually just really cool.
Amen. 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 All right, if I can ask our prayer team to come on up, if you would all stand with me. I'm going to dismiss you, bless you, but our prayer team is going to be here to pray with you regarding these things. Don't want anyone here to leave without being prayed over. And even if you just need a little jolt, somebody come alongside you to pray for you as you make a commitment today. It's never, ever too late to start running, chasing after God. So if you want to start doing that today in a whole new way, just come forward, let somebody pray with you and be an encouragement to you in these things. So Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we give you the glory for it all. We pray our soul bless you today. We thank you for what you have started to do, because the work is not done yet. And you're continuing well beyond the closing of these doors. We just give you the glory. May God's glory shine upon you. May his glory minister to you. May his glory come forth through you. And may you walk in his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.